little red packet. And if you're a child, you get a hong pao, you open it up, and there's nothing in it. Nothing. For many people, that is the hope that they have. It's unrealized. Some people think their life is like that empty red packet. I've met people in my ministry who, their whole life, they have had hopes, and the hopes have not come true. Fortunately for many of us who live in America, we have a good life, better than most. We live in a wealthy land. The government can take care of us. We can go to the Chinese community center and get help. We have a better situation than most people. I was talking to my wife recently about Hong Kong, and she said, you know, in Hong Kong, if you work hard all day, you don't have a pension. Most people don't have pensions. They have to work until they die and drop. Is that true? In China, I think so, in many places in the world. But in the United States, people can actually have a pension and collect money, put money in your 401k plan. Your life is better here. But you want to know something? That kind of life will not endure. Because one of these days, all of those things will pass away. Many people face this reality in life that their hope is not as much as they expected it to be. My title today is this: Do we have any hope in this world? Scientists tell us that in a few billion years, millions and millions of years, the sun will die. And when the sun dies, this planet will be a cold wasteland. How can you have hope with that reality that we're facing? Still today, there are people who want to hope, but many of them, their hope will die. We get old, we get frail, and we die. And so what happens to our hopes when we die? Most of our hopes don't exist anymore. Is there a hope that endures? You might be a person of great influence. You might be someone who works for the Clinton Foundation, or you might be someone who works for Donald Trump in the hotel in Washington, D.C. You might be a member of the Republican or Democratic Party and victorious. You might be a princeling of China, a child of a rich Communist Party leader, or the son or daughter of an American president. You might have hopes now that work out, but your hopes will die when you die. And one day you will meet the same fate as the homeless man or woman on the street with his or her hand out asking for some money. We all meet the same fate. You might live to a ripe 100 years. Do we have anybody 100 years old in this congregation? Or you might die at 20. We all have hope. And yet, each of us, our hopes that we have will die with us. But for a Christian, we all have a common hope. Today, I want to point to three reasons to hope for a Christian. First, but let's look at the texts that Charles read. I want to go through them briefly. Romans 8, 38 to 39. For I am convinced that neither life, death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is a promise, and also the conviction of the Apostle Paul. Nothing can keep us from God's love. Friend, a Christian has a firm hope that nothing can keep you from the love of God. He loves you right where you are at. You can be in the most miserable circumstance, but God's love is toward you. You can be the biggest sinner in the world. God loves you and hopes and wants you to turn to him away from that sin and that evil that destroys you. Why don't you surrender to him and let him be your Lord and Savior? If you have that love, that hope, why not accept it? And yet I know many people who walk in life, who attend church, who are always on the border of receiving and believing in Jesus Christ. They're always on the edge. They never make the commitment. They never make the full jump into a relationship with Jesus Christ. All you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And you can experience this hope, this love, and this power. And then there's Ecclesiastes 9:4. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. This is an Old Testament statement, unique, hard, and true. But it says something important. If we have life, we can hope, even in difficult times. So you can hope right now, no matter what difficult circumstance you're facing. There is hope that is possible for you. Hope. This morning, we're going to look at chapter 8 of the letter to the Romans that Paul wrote, which has great information about hoping for God to intervene. Hope gives us a reason to get up in the morning. It does. Hope gives us direction for our lives. Hope helps us to move toward that calling that God has given us. Hope gives us the ability to have a positive outlook on life. Hope is something to strive, to achieve, to have. Hope motivates us to keep us going in hard times. Hope is so important. Without hope, we give up. First, there is hope for the Christian because Christ sets us free. Romans 8, 1-2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Looking at chapter 8, which is full of important words about the basic nature and content of Christianity, some scholars have said that Romans is about justification by faith. But really, it is more about the righteousness of God, God's character, his moral rectitude, his purity, his holiness, and how we should strive to approach being people of God and living in the way of God, righteously, morally, ethically, knowing that God forgives us and gives us opportunity to serve and to love. To fully understand Romans, you have to have a grasp of Christian theology. There's a lot of terms in this text which are important. Sin, salvation, grace, faith, law, righteousness, justification, sanctification, redemption, death, and resurrection. All are important themes, and many of us don't understand these themes. But they are important themes in the history of Christian faith. But the reality is that we can come into a relationship with God very, very simply by encountering him, by experiencing his forgiveness, by surrendering to him. We are not Christians because of the great knowledge that we have. We are not Christians because the rightness of our ideas, our assent to ideas. That's important, but we become Christians by an encounter with Jesus Christ through repentance. Through repenting of our sin. A pastor can sin. A member of a church can sin. A member that has been in the church for 30, 40 years and a new person, young person, 5 years old can sin. And God's mercy and forgiveness can be applied to all of us. That is our hope. That is our hope. There are two main views, and I'm going to look at chapter 7 briefly. I have some text up there from chapter... No, it's not up there. But I want to read chapter 7 a little bit. Chapter 7 is important if you want to understand chapter 8 of Romans. And there are two main perspectives of chapter 7. Chapter 7 represents the views of Paul before he was a Christian. Or chapter 7 represents the views of Paul while he was a Christian. And in Christianity, there's a debate. Which one is which? I don't really know. But if you know, you can tell me after the sermon. Verse 22, Paul writes this. And Paul was very conflicted. He was engaged in a hard fight against sin. And this is what he says. When he wanted to do what was good, he failed and did what was evil. In verse 22, the law and the commandments were good, intended to bring life. But his own actions could never match the law's requirement. The law was spiritual, but his own actions were of the flesh. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me? 7 verse 8. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. Sin deceived me. Verse 15. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, I do. Verse 18. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Verse 19. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep undoing. What a difficult situation. This is the battle that many of us face in life. We want to love our wife, but when we wake up in the morning, we yell at our wife. We want to be nice to our children, but we're judgmental to our children. But we know we should be nice to them and good and loving. We have a pastor, and we want to talk about the pastor in a way that's not healthy. And we know it's the wrong thing. Our mom and our dad, they tell us we need to obey this rule. And as a child, we think very badly of them. We are all subject to this kind of thing. We even look at things on the internet that are wrong. Many things on the internet are wrong. We need God. We need God to come into our life and to give us hope so that we can surrender to Him. We need to have not this law, this understanding that we must always follow the law and it's a hard thing to do. We should instead understand that the Spirit of God comes into our life and helps us to live a life that is holy, that is like God, that reflects the righteousness of God that we see in the letter to the Romans. This righteousness of God, when God comes to dwell in our heart and our life, we also can experience and live a measure of that righteousness. So when we are a people who sin and we can't control it, we have to come to know God more. We have to invite Christ in our life more. And that will help us to develop the fruit of the Spirit. The antidote to sin for Christians who struggle is not more knowledge and wisdom and ideas, but the antidote to sin is the fruit of the Spirit. When we allow God to work in our life, this morning in our Sunday school class, Roy taught us about Mother Teresa. She was a woman who had the fruit of the Spirit in her life. She was a woman who lived in a way that she could love others. That is the hope that we have. Hope. The second hope is this. There is hope because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Paul's telling the Romans that the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that is in you. Do you know that? Do you know that the spirit, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's the same spirit that dwells in you if you have surrendered your life to Christ. And that is a promise that in the future, when you die, you will be with God. And that is the hope that Christians have. That the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead is the same spirit that will allow us to rise from the dead. That's the Christian joy, the Christian privilege, the power of the resurrection. Paul wants to make sure that the church understands that. It's a great hope that we can have. And that miracle, interestingly, is the most underappreciated miracle for many Christians. For many Christians, they pray, Lord, I need a parking space. That's good. Lord, you know, help me to make more money this month. Give me this. Lord, heal this person. These are all good prayers. And they're good things to hope for. But for the Christian, our greatest hope is that we will rise because the Spirit of God is within us. We have surrendered to Jesus Christ. And when we are born again, the Spirit of God comes into our life and gives us hope. Hope in a world that has no hope. Hope in a world where this existence will disappear. The hopes that we... One of the things I've noticed is that we get older. Charles doesn't know this. Charles is a young man still. But some of us who are old, I think maybe we're the same age, I don't know. But some of us, as we grow older, one of the traumas, the difficult things of growing older, believe it or not, is the hopes that you had. You begin to realize, oh, I cannot do that. Oh, I can't climb Mount Everest anymore. Oh, I can't do this anymore. And so as a Christian, an older Christian, we have to come to terms with our human frailty and our human limitation. Except some people that are like superhuman, and I can see two of them sitting right there. So. Microphone broke. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Oh, is God with you? Is God with you? If you give your life to Christ, that God, that living God, the Spirit of God is with you. What a great hope. What a great hope in a world that has no hope. So let me ask you a question. How is God doing in your life? If God is in your life, if you have this great hope, and you work in a restaurant, or you work in a federal government building, you have the answer. You have the answer for many people's life. You have an opportunity to spend a few minutes to tell them about what Jesus Christ did in your life. We all have a testimony. Some of us, our testimony is 2 hours long. But you can't talk to someone for 2 hours. So let me encourage every one of you to have a two-minute testimony about what Jesus Christ did to your life. And to talk to somebody this week about what Christ has done in your life. Talk to someone you work with. And tell them, Jesus Christ changed my life. He gave me hope. Thirdly, there is hope because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This text is a text on hope. In this life and the age to come, if we have embraced and surrendered to Jesus Christ, then nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. But if we are still in Adam, if we are still mortal and flesh, and have not had the Spirit of God come into our life, then we are under condemnation. We are under condemnation, and we have no hope. We may have a hope temporarily in this world that our stock market will grow. We may have a hope that someone will give us some money at the street corner. We may have this limited temporal hope that will not exist when this earth is dark and cold. But if we have embraced Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have a great hope, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Chapter 8 is a wonderful chapter. In the letter, we learn many things, and one of these things that we've learned is that hope is possible for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Let me ask that question. If God is for you, who can be against you? No one. No one can beat God. Friends, this morning, you can be people of hope, and it's a powerful hope, and nothing can take that hope away from you. So I encourage you to receive, accept Jesus Christ. If you have not expressed this hope before, and you want to hope in Jesus Christ, it's a simple thing. You must surrender to Him. You must accept Him as Lord. You must repent from your sins, that's turn away, and you must invite Him into your life. This is not wishful thinking, but this is the source of hope for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. We have hope in His mercy and His power and His love and what He accomplished on the cross. Because if the resurrection did not take place, Paul said, we of all people would be most miserable. But we know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ occurred, and through that resurrection, we have hope eternally. There is hope because Christ sets us free. There is hope because the Holy Spirit lives in us. There is hope because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank You that You have given us great hope. Thank You, Lord, that You have given us a testimony, each and every one of us who believes in You, who have received You. You have given us a testimony. Help us this week to share that testimony with others. If it's in a restaurant, if it's in a federal government building, Lord, give us an opportunity to share this message of hope to someone who needs it. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.